Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We bring in a guy who comes with them all the time, has for years, does so now for MLB.com. Cubs columnist Phil Rogers joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How you been, Phil?
Hey, Jody, I've been great. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. No, thank you for coming on. Before we get into the X's and O's of the team and the baseball breakdown, I want to get a feel of what Chicago is like right now. If I give you these three choices, depict the Chicago Cub fan base with one of these choices. Give me which is the one that's most accurate for the majority of that fan base. Are Chicago fans going, last year was fictitious, it didn't really happen, we're going to lose again because we're the Cubs, and 108 years is 108 years, and it was a dream sequence last season? Or are they saying, come on, you know we're the best team, we're the bad, we're going to be fine, they're just going through the motions, now it's the second half, we'll turn it up, we're going back to the World Series, baby? Or is it just a kind of smile and a tentative look on their face and say, we're going to be okay, we'll be all right, I think? Which of the three best depicts?
I think it's somewhere a combination of the last two.
Okay.
You know, I think there is still some optimism because this team played its best the last 2 years in August and September, and they're in a division where, as badly as they played, you know, they're still right there at the division lead. So, you know, I think if St. Louis or the Pirates were 10 games ahead of them, that would change the outlook. But, you know, I think fans still feel like there's time to fix it. But I got to say, I'm a little bit disappointed that I think there's a little bit of it's okay if they don't get it done this year because last year was so great. And I was I covered the series in 05 when the White Sox beat the Red Sox in the division series a year after the Red Sox had ended the curse there. And that game three in Boston, fans walking out of there after they'd been eliminated, it did not feel the way Boston baseball has always felt. And I thought Chicago would be able to avoid that. And I didn't think it would be a factor because this team has been built, I think, better than those 05 Red Sox. You know, I think Theo Epstein and his guys have learned some things, and they had really just gotten to Boston. They hadn't been able to develop their player development machine yet. But, you know, I do think there's a sort of a, well, if it doesn't come together this year, you know, feeling that let's celebrate 2016 again. They're still having the bobbleheads from the last out of the World Series. I think some people are still pinching themselves rather than realizing, you know, this is a team that has a chance to do what the Yankees did and win 4 in 5 years, you know, and really be something special. And that chance, that's what might be getting away if they don't get this thing turned around.
Interesting situation with the Cubs this week. Miguel Montero, after a game in which the Washington Nationals stole 7 bases against them, basically came out and threw his teammate Jake Arrieta under the bus after the game and saying, I had no chance to slow the home plate. Yeah, we talked about it in spring training, but nobody does anything about it. I didn't have a chance. It did not go over well, to say the least, since he was designated for assignment the next day. His teammate threw him under the bus. Anthony Rizzo on a Chicago radio station said, we can't have this. You got to stick up for your teammates. That's completely uncalled for. Good to get Montero out of the clubhouse? Signs that there are cracks and there isn't unity with this team? How did you evaluate what happened with Montero this week?
Well, I give Theo Epstein credit for addressing that situation and making the move. And it's not like it totally came out of nowhere. This time a year ago, when David Ross was still there, Montero was one of three catchers. There were times that I thought Montero was a release candidate last year because he is so weak defensively. He's a contradiction. He's a great pitch framer, which is the reason the Cubs got him to begin with. But with all the old school fundamentals of catching, he is really weak, and he doesn't block balls. He doesn't throw, and he was right that Jake Arrieta is slow to the plate. But the only thing slower than Jake Arrieta to home plate is Miguel Montero to second base. And yesterday, Baseball Info Systems came out with numbers that Arrieta indeed is the second slowest pitcher in the major leagues to home plate this year, and Montero has the slowest pop time to second base of any catcher. So, I mean, it's definitely a case of the pot calling the kettle black. And you go back to Montero having criticized or complained about his playing time in the World Series right at the end of the parade last year. And I think it was just time for a change. Oh. It does raise questions about the depth of their catching situation. And you wonder if they're going to have to go out and get a veteran catcher to add depth. If anything happened to Wilson Contreras right now, they would be in bad shape.
Well, that kind of lends me to my next question, because the Cubs did take a proactive stance, I'll say about a week to 10 days too late, but they did by sending Kyle Schwarber down. He was killing them with his 170-plus average. Yeah, he's getting his walks, and yet when he hits it out of the park, but 170 is 170, and they finally sent him down and said, we just need to get him swing together, and this is not a demotion long haul. We believe he'll be back as soon as his swing comes together, and he'll still be an integral part of the team. I would have done it a week to 10 days earlier, but some people thought that it wouldn't send Schwarber down at all because he was so highly thought of and such an untouchable when teams were calling to see if they could get their hands on him. He is a catcher. He came up as a catcher. He's on record as saying he likes catching and still thinks of himself as a catcher, and they said in spring training, we'll use him at catcher some. That was almost non-existent for the first half of the season. With Montero down and gone, does Schwarber come back and do some catching?
Well, he has caught, I think, a couple games this year, not whole games, but innings during games. And he does want to catch. And I think it's interesting, Wilson Contreras, who looks very good defensively, has improved a lot, apparently, or these analytics were brutal because the analytics on these two guys, they were both the catchers on the AA Tennessee team 3 years ago. And actually, Schwarber's analytics for catching were better than Wilson Contreras's at that point. He was a better defensive catcher by the statistical rating. So I think he could catch, but to do that right now, and I didn't get this. He homered twice last night for the Iowa Cubs, but he was playing designated hitter. Clearly the focus now is on just getting his bat right and getting his head cleared, trying to get him back to the approach at the plate that he had in 2015. And that sort of went, he was able to get it together for a handful of games in the World Series. But I think the repetition of games he missed last year while he was out has really thrown him into a funk. So they're just trying to get the bat going. So I think long-term, yes, he can be a backup catcher to Wilson Contreras or one of three catchers on a roster. But I don't see any focus to do that right now because they're concerned enough about, they feel like he has enough on his plate, I think.
Phil, will the Cubs be a buyer between now and July 31st? And if they've got one big move in them, part with a big prospect to get someone to help them win this year and get back to the World Series, what is the most likely position that player will be who's acquired?
Yeah, it would be a starting pitcher, and it would be a guy controlled beyond the end of this year. It would not be a rental starting pitcher. Although, with that said, first the need is that Arrieta and Lackey, this is probably going to be their last year. So then you look at their rotation past this year, it's John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, and fill in the blanks. I mean, maybe Mike Montgomery, maybe Eddie Butler. But they really need pitching depth beyond the end of this year if they don't bring Arrieta and Lackey back. So that's why starting pitcher who's controlled, I think, has a lot of appeal. That's, you're really talking about just a handful of guys. If the Rays don't trade Chris Archer, which I don't think they're going to, if the Pirates don't trade Gerrit Cole, you're kind of down to Sonny Gray and Jose Quintana for, you know, in that market. But keep an eye out for Johnny Cueto. And Cueto, I think, is a really tricky guy for any team to acquire because he has that opt-out clause after this year, and you don't know if he pitches well, he'll opt out. If he doesn't pitch well, then you're on the hook for 4 years at $21 million. I don't think many teams are going to do that, but the Cubs have the prospects to give up for a trade like that, and they, especially with Lackey and Arrieta going off the payroll, they would have plenty of financial flexibility to take on the contract. So I kind of see, and also Joe Maddon and Theo Epstein, their front office, they love Johnny Cueto. I mean, the Game 1 Division Series duel, him and John Lester, that they squeaked out on a Javier Baez home run, that game is what they think of Johnny Cueto. And so while he's had an off year this year, I think they feel like he's the kind of guy they would want to go to a mound in a game they need to win in the postseason. So to me, if, just throw it out a name, I'm going to give you Johnny Cueto.
I like it, and it does make a lot of sense. That's why we have guys like Phil Rogers on, because they understand the game, know the game, and give us good insight when they join us. Phil, thanks much. Have a good Saturday night. Have a good 4th of July, too, my friend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.